Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another edition of RotoBallers After Hours with RotoBaller Radio Series. I'm your host, Anthony Agnano, as we continue our running back previews for the upcoming 2019 fantasy football season. Head over to rotoballer.com. Sign up now for the premium package using the promotional code ACES. Save 10%. So take advantage of that over at rotoballer.com. Baseball, football, basketball, golf, NASCAR, hockey, whatever it is you're looking for, rotoballer.com has got you covered. And listen to all the great shows right here at the RotoBaller YouTube channel or on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, RotoBaller Radio every day, 6 to 7 a.m., Sundays, 8 to 10 a.m., including myself, Scott Engel, Real Talk Raff, and Josh Hayes as your hosts. Okay, so coming at you here, part two of the RotoBaller of the After Hours Running Back Breakdown. Part one, you saw it already. I talked about the AFC East and the AFC North running backs. Part two, AFC South, AFC West. Then tomorrow we come out with our NFC running backs breakdowns, all right? So let's start in the AFC South. Interesting situation here in Houston, where Lamar Miller walks into camp as the feature running back, okay? 4.6 yards per carry last year, 973 yards. What if I finish with about 1,100, 1,200 yards rushing if he didn't get hurt? 5 touchdowns on the season, 1 through the air, 6 total, 25 receptions, 163 yards, about 12 fantasy points a game. Lamar Miller did what Lamar Miller does. There's nothing sexy. There's nothing there that turns you on, but he churns out yardage and does the job. Now, his current ADP is going mid-sixth round at 6.07. ADP is courtesy of fantasyfootballcalculator.com. ADP of 6.07 as the 30th running back off the board. I have him at 33. And here's the concern. You could start your season with Lamar Miller as your RB2. It's not going to win you a league. He's going to do what Lamar Miller does and has done for his career. The concern is Deonta Foreman, okay, coming off the Achilles, okay, got into a little bit of action yesterday. Last year didn't do much, okay? Now, is this the year that Deonta Foreman finally takes over more of a role? Well, people are starting to think that based on ADPs. Lamar Miller's going at 6.07. Foreman is going just 3 rounds later at 9.10. 13 running backs after Lamar Miller's number 30. Foreman's going at number 43. I have him at number 48, about 15 players after Miller. So that's the concern. If you invest in Miller, if he struggles, if he's not explosive, and this Houston offense has designs on being explosive, right? When you have Hopkins and a returning Will Fuller, Deshaun Watson, Kiki Kuti, okay, that should be an explosive offense, all right? Foreman more explosive than Lamar Miller, but Lamar Miller has a track record of steadiness there. So be mindful of that. If you go Lamar Miller, you might be 3 rounds later having to invest in Foreman just to solidify that spot and know you've got the starting running back from that team. Okay, the Indianapolis Colts, Marlon Mack, the clear running back one, 3rd round value, 3.06, going as the 16th overall running back. And again, another situation where if you go wide receiver rounds 1 and 2 in a PPR format and then make Marlon Mack your first running back off the board, I'm okay with it. Marlon Mack looked terrific in what should be a dynamite Colts offense, a monster offensive line. My opinion, the best quarterback in the game in Andrew Luck coming into this season. Okay, wide receivers now with T.Y. Hilton, you got the rookie Paris Campbell. They brought in Devin Funchess. You know Eric Ebron, Jack Doyle. It's an explosive offense. Marlon Mack, okay, 16th overall, I have him at 17, okay, 4.7 yards per carry, 908 yards. Remember, he missed time at the start of the year last year, 9 rushing touchdowns, 1 receiving touchdown, only 17 receptions. The receptions go elsewhere there in Indianapolis, but Mack will get the ball carries. He's at the very least a regular 2-down, if not 3-down, short yardage back, goal line back, doing all of those things. Don't expect Eric Ebron to get 13 touchdowns. They'll go elsewhere. Hopefully, Mack improves on those 9 rushing touchdowns last season. 17 overall. He's a solid RB2 who could be an RB1 if you decide to go wide receiver. Now, the receptions, they go to Nyheim Hines, who's going in the 11th round, 11.12, number 51. He could be the new Theo Riddick, the new Duke Johnson in terms of pass-catching running backs. 81 targets last year. Now, Indianapolis has added more receiving weapons. Funchess, Jack Doyle should be healthy. They added Paris Campbell. So there's more receiving options there. But, okay, Hines, 81 receptions, 63 receptions, 81 targets, two receiving touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns. Okay, going at running back 51, I have him a little higher. I have him at 41. I love to PPR him to death. Nyheim Hines as a flex option, RB3, can do that for you. He'll have a significant role in that offense. Right now, Spencer Ware is there as the true handcuff to Marlon Mack. Hines is not that handcuff. Hines is a different role, catching the ball out of the backfield. Tennessee Titans. This is an interesting team because how do you feel about Derrick Henry? He is a conversation piece at the very least. Did he come on late last season and do what Derrick Henry does, and that's just tease? Are the Titans fully committed to making Derrick Henry the focal point of that offense? How does this shake out? Well, I'm a Derrick Henry believer at this point. I do believe when Tennessee is running out Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill, okay, that tells me you need to lean on your running game. And there is no running back physically bigger who can handle that leaning on than Derrick Henry. Okay, he's currently going at the end of the third round at 3.11. He's going at running back 19. If you get him there, I think that's a steal. I have him at running back 10. Yes, 10. I have him as an RB1. I think he's a workhorse. 12 touchdowns last year, over 1,000 yards, 4.9 yards per carry. A lot of damage done late, but enough with the Deion Lewis, okay? He even had 15 catches for 99 yards to Derrick Henry last year. He's a monster. This is the year he puts it together. He's in my top 12. Deion Lewis, you handcuff Derrick Henry with Deion Lewis? Absolutely. Can Deion Lewis do some damage out of the passing game? Sure. 59 receptions, 400 receiving yards last year, 10 fantasy points a game was Deion Lewis. He could be useful in bye weeks as a flex option even. Okay, he's going in the 13th round, 13.06, running back 54. I have him at running back 46 because I love those running backs who could catch the ball. He'll see a role on third downs. There's no doubt about it. But Derrick Henry, short yardage, goal line, primary ball carrier, option one, he's all of those things in Tennessee. Now, he could be a big miss for me because he's done it before. He's teased, he's taunted, he's tantalized. But I'm in. Running back 10, I'm going to have him. He's my biggest jumper from current ADP. I'll even go Derrick Henry around earlier than 3.11. Okay, I feel firmly about him. Jacksonville Jaguars, okay? Leonard Fournette, what a bust he was last year. 439 rushing yards, 3.3 yards per carry. He was injured for a significant part of the year. TJ Yeldon was more effective than him when on the field last year. 5 rushing touchdowns, had 22 catches, 185 yards. And here's where it is for me, right? So Leonard Fournette is going at 3.03, running back 15. Okay, I'll make the comparison. I will take Derrick Henry over Leonard Fournette 100 out of 100 times. Okay, Henry is going 8 picks after Leonard Fournette. Henry is going 4 running backs after Leonard Fournette. I have Derrick Henry at number 10. I have Leonard Fournette at number 13. He's a fringe RB1. He's more, I like him more as my RB2. I have a hard time tying the running back position on my fantasy team to Leonard Fournette. I got to get somebody before him, or I don't even go Leonard Fournette. I go later. Okay, where he's going in that ADP, I don't want to pay it early third round. I'd rather get somebody like a Sony Michel, somebody going a little bit later, sign up for that before signing up for Leonard Fournette as RB13. There's just too many question marks. Not anybody I love, okay? Ryquell Armstead is the backup in Jacksonville. He's actually going at running back 58, 13.12. I have him at running back 60. It's going to be a necessary handcuff. We know the struggles Fournette had being on the field last season, okay? AFC West, okay? Damian Williams, Kansas City, another one who's a big conversation piece. Going in round 2 at 2.07, running back 12, okay? Listen, we saw what he did in the short season last year after taking over from Kareem Hunt. He was outstanding. Bottom line, playoffs, end of the season. Damian Williams was a 3-down dual threat back, 23 receptions, 2 receiving touchdowns, 4 rushing touchdowns in a limited role, did average 5.1 yards per carry. You sign up for somebody from that Kansas City offense, you have to like it. Carlos Hyde is there as a backup. He's going in round 9, 9.12, running back 44. Okay, I have him at 45. Hyde is what he is. He's a good back. If Damian Williams has to miss a game or two, Carlos Hyde can fill in and do the job adequately. I have him at running back 45. 5 rushing touchdowns last season. More of it from when he was with Cleveland before he got traded over out of there. And now he's in Kansas City. So Carlos Hyde, a solid RB2, solid handcuff for Damian Williams. The Chargers. I sit here on July 18th, whatever today's date is, with Melvin Gordon as my RB5. Currently going as RB6, 1.09. We talk a month from now in August. If Melvin Gordon is still holding out, he will be sliding down my draft boards. There's no doubt about it. I can't trust the running back who's holding out. Now, the other issue with Mel Gordon, he's only played 16 games once in his career. He's always injured, gets injured late in the season. Maybe they got to deflect some of his carries into other directions early on in the year. But nonetheless, 14 total touchdowns last year, 10 rushing, 4 receiving, 50 receptions, 5.1 yards per carry. He does it all. There's no doubt he's a dynamic player. Injury, holdout, scare me. Like I said, right now I have him at RB5, but he has to play. Talk to me mid-August, and let's see where we are with this holdout. If he doesn't go, sign up for Austin Eckler all day, every day, and people are starting to see it. He's moved into the 8th round now of ADP at number 40. I have him at 35. Austin Eckler had 39 receptions last year, 404 receiving yards, averaged 12 points a game in a limited role. He averaged 5.2 yards per carry, total of 6 touchdowns. Eckler was terrific last year. You didn't even need to tie him to Mel Gordon. Somebody else could have had Mel Gordon. You could have had Eckler, and you were using Eckler in desperate spots as an RB2, feeling comfortably using him as a flex role. Austin Eckler, the longer Gordon holds out, the heavier the price is going to be for Austin Eckler. Justin Jackson is there as well, and he's moved in now. Okay, he's a waiver wire clam, but I got him at running back 58, assuming Gordon struggles early or holds out. Okay, 4.1 yards a carry, 2 rushing touchdowns for the kid. If Gordon holds, Eckler, Jackson, both must drafts at some point on draft day. Denver Broncos and Philip Lindsay, currently going at RB22, 4.07. I have him at 21. Okay, the undrafted rookie would have won Rookie of the Year if it wasn't for Saquon Barkley. 9 rushing touchdowns, 1 receiving touchdown, over 1,000 yards rushing, 5.4 yards per carry. And when Joe Flacco or the rookie quarterback Locke is at the helm, what does a team do? It leans on the running game. Philip Lindsay will get his. The wrist is healthy. He's fine. He says he's 100%. Going to be interesting to see Royce Freeman's role. Again, you go Lindsay, you have to handcuff with Freeman. And people are realizing that as Freeman is going currently 4 rounds after Philip Lindsay. Lindsay at 4.07, Freeman at 8.08. Lindsay at running back 22, Freeman at running back 39. I have Lindsay at 21 and Freeman at 34. Freeman averaged 4 yards a carry, had 5 rushing touchdowns last year, 7 fantasy points a game. I expect his role to expand. Again, Joe Flacco or the rookie quarterback, Emmanuel Sanders coming off the Achilles, a couple of young receivers in Hamilton and Sutton. They're going to lean on this running game. Don't expect both. I would honestly expect both these guys to finish around 800 rushing yards. Lindsay takes a little step back. Freeman takes a little step forward. Both of them could potentially be fringe RB2s. I don't expect Lindsay as an RB1. I don't expect a full repeat, but RB21 for me, a solid RB2. And finally, the Oakland Raiders, they bring in the rookie Josh Jacobs. Currently going first pick in the 4th round, RB20. I have him at 22, and he steps right into the starting running back role on what should be an improved Raiders offense with now Antonio Brown and Ty Williams out wide. Derek Carr finally getting a true great supporting cast around him. See what he can do. Jacobs is there. I have him as RB22, solid RB2. Jalen Richard going undrafted as a waiver wire claim. I actually have him at 49 in a PPR format. I do think he could do some damage catching the ball out of the backfield. All right, everybody, follow me on Twitter at AAnnieAnnoFantasy. Sign up now at rotobola.com using the promotional code ACES. All right, I hope you enjoyed it. AFC Preview Part 2. Make sure you check out AFC Preview Part 1, as well as my quarterbacking rankings right here on Rotobola's YouTube channel. We'll be back soon with the NFC running back rankings. Have a good one, folks.